One verse of scripture I'd like to read today from Proverbs, the 16th chapter and the 2nd verse. And a bit later I'll read more from this same 16th chapter. But I thought this is a rather significant verse. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. And so it is with man from the beginning. When man might analyze himself, when man might excuse himself in his own ways. And as this says, the ways of man are clean in his own eyes. Many would allow themselves to do certain things and then give justification for them. But it says here, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. And I feel that's a rather significant few words there. The Lord weighs, no matter what man might justify or think concerning himself, it is the Lord that weigheth the spirits. I think probably one of the best indications of that is found in the book of Daniel, the 5th chapter. And I just want to read one verse, the 27th, or a part of this verse, and then I want to read quite a bit of this particular chapter. To a king of old, a statement was made, thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. And I feel this is a significant verse. It ties with the Lord trieth the spirits or weigheth the spirits. And I'd like to go back to the fourth part of this 5th chapter of Daniel and speak somewhat about one King Belshazzar. And he had made a great feast, says here, to a thousands of his lords, and he drank wine before the thousand. Now this, incidentally, was a son of Nebuchadnezzar. And he knew what had happened to his father. And yet he still pursued a life that was really foreign to God. And it says, while he tasted wine, he commanded that the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which is in Jerusalem, that the king and the princess, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. And so they brought these vessels and drank therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank in them. And they drank wine. And notice this, they praised the gods of gold and of silver. Not the God of heaven did they praise, but they praised the gods of gold and silver and of brass and of iron, of wood and of stone. So in this condition they did this. And then a significant happening happened. And I feel that this would be awakening to any person, no matter who it was, who saw this experience. In the same hour came forth the fingers of a man's hand. And all they saw was this. All he saw was this, the fingers of a man's hand. And it wrote upon the plaster of the wall. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. And so you know this must have concerned this king. In fact, there isn't anybody in this room it wouldn't concern if we saw that experience. It would have everyone's attention, and certainly it did the king. And his countenance was changed in this condition, and his thoughts troubled him. And I think he might have begun having some second thoughts, maybe of his life even. And it says the joints of the loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against the other. And so his knees smote together, and he shook, and he was afraid. But what did he do first, Dad? He didn't look to the God of heaven, but he called for his astrologers, the Chaldeans and the soothsayers. And he says, "Shew me the interpretation thereof." And then he says, "You'll be clothed with scarlet. I'll put a chain, gold chain about your neck. I'll make you the third ruler in the kingdom if you can interpret this." And all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the writing. They could not make known the interpretation, what was written on the plaster of the wall. And then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him. And his lords were astonished, as we might say it. Now the queen remembered some happenings a number of years before, and she tried to console this king and says, "Let not your thoughts be troubled." Says, there is a man in thy kingdom in whom is a spirit of the holy gods. And of course she uses it plural here. And then it says, "In the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him." So she said, and your father even made him master of the magicians and the astrologers and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers. And then I want to read the 12th verse. "Forasmuch as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and shewing of senses and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will shew thee the interpretation." So we see in this instance, Daniel was brought in to interpret this dream, or rather this writing on the wall. And in this instance, we find that he made him the same promise of the clothing of scarlet, the chain of gold about his neck, and the third ruler in the kingdom. But Daniel's answer was, "Let your gifts be to thee, O king, but I'll make known what the interpretation is." And then he told this king some rather sobering thoughts. He says, "You knew what happened to your father. You knew what happened to him." And I want to read a bit what happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. And we can go to verse 20. "But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind was hardened in pride," that was King Nebuchadnezzar, "he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him." Now this is an instance that I really don't know of another record like unto it. And it says here, "He was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts." That was what happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. "And his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with the grass like oxen." And that's what he ate, was the grass like the oxen. "And his body was wet with the dew of heaven." This is what happened to King Nebuchadnezzar, because he hardened his heart. "And he was hardened in pride." And this is what happened to this king of old. "Till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will." So he knew who was God of heaven. "And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thyself or thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven." So Daniel kind of was playing with King Belshazzar. Now the words that were written is in verse 25. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. And then Daniel gives the interpretation of this writing that was upon the wall. The first one, meaning, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Now, wouldn't you think that would be quite a statement to a king who had wives and concubines and lords by the thousands? He had 1,000 of his lords to this particular feast. Now he says, thy kingdom, God hath numbered thy kingdom, and it is finished. It's done. And here, this was actually a great kingdom, mind you. And then Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. God weigheth the spirits. He weighed that king. He was found wanting. And then the finality of it all, Peres, is the word that was on the wall. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. And so this great kingdom, this great empire, was ended. And in that night was the king of the Chaldeans slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom. And that was the end of King Belshazzar. And we think upon this. To me, it had quite a thought. It ties with the scripture from Proverbs, showing that the Lord weigheth the spirits. I would like to turn back to the book of Proverbs, the 16th chapter, and start with verse 5. Everyone that is proud in his heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join hand in hand, he shall not be unpunished. You see how this even ties with what I brought from the book of Daniel. Those that are proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. And I will bring others this day of what pride in heart has done to the children of people. Those who have already left this earth. And what it can do to people this day if people continue therein. We have some examples. King Belshazzar had what happened to his own father. He didn't benefit. He went on pursuing the life of lust and sin, defiling the vessels of the Lord, praising the gods of gold and silver and stone and wood and stone and such like. But we see he had that experience of a man's fingers writing on the wall certain words. His life was taken that same night. His kingdom was finished. He was weighed in the balances and found wanting. And it says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. In verse 6, and he says, it shall not go unpunished, this type of thinking. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. The way to overcome is explained here. And note in verse 7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And then I feel another significant verse. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Now, let me tell you, our nation today would do well to read that verse and take counsel therein. A little with righteousness is better than great revenues without right. But many feel that possessions and goods of this world are all important. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. There is a lot I could read here, but I'm going to skip on down to verse 16 and perhaps read on through verse 19. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? The question or statement is made. And to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. This whole book ties with the importance of wisdom in our lives. The ability to make wise decisions. That is a part of our life from the time we get understanding in this world. A little child gets understanding. The more wisdom they have, the better off they have as they grow older. It's better than gold. And to get understanding is rather to be chosen than silver. An understanding of the way of life, an understanding of the scriptures and knowledge therein. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. So those that keepeth his way, those that follow the way of the Lord and not the way of pride, it says he preserveth his soul. Now look at this one here. Pride goeth before destruction. So what happened to two kings in the book of Daniel? Nebuchadnezzar and his son. And many others, pride has gone before destruction. The Nephites, I think, is probably one of the prime examples of this after Christ's crucifixion and their high degree of civilization and their fall. And a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. So I feel this morning these words are words of wisdom and should be words of benefit to each one of us in this room, to know that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And it's better to be a part of the humble with the lowly than divide all the spoil with the proud. I would like to turn now to the fourth Nephi, that which I had just referenced, on page 684. This is found in verses 26 through 28. But I think... Maybe I'll read that first. There's a side verse that I want to read with it. And now I, Mormon, in verse 26, would that you should know that the people had multiplied insomuch that they were spread upon all the face of the land. And they had become exceeding rich because of their prosperity in Christ. And these people had become even exceeding rich because of their prosperity in Christ. And now before completing this, I would like to turn back to some verses in the early part of this same chapter. The 11th verse down through 14. And now behold, it came to pass that the people of Nephi did wax strong and did multiply exceeding fast and became an exceeding fair and delightsome people. They were married and given in marriage. These are the people who in 2 years after Christ appeared to them, in the ending of the 36th year, they were all converted into the Lord. Their sick was healed, and their deaf did hear, and their blind did see. Even the dead was raised on some occasions. Great and marvelous works were done among this people because they were all one. And in verse 13 it says, "And they did not walk any more after the performances and ordinances of the law of Moses, but they did walk after the commandments." And I want you to note this. They did walk after the commandments which they had received from the Lord their God, continuing in fasting and prayer, meeting together oft, both to pray and to hear the word of the Lord. And so they did walk after the commandments. And it came to pass that there was no contention among all the people in all the land, but there were mighty miracles wrought among the disciples of Jesus. There was no contention. And verse 17 really ties with that. "And it came to pass there was no contention in the land because of the love of God which did dwell in the hearts of the people." That is why. Now going back to page 684 and verse 26, it says they had become exceeding rich because of their prosperity in Christ. Now we're going down to a little different time. And it says in the 27th verse, in the 201st year. And I want to note here, in the 36th year, they were all converted to the Lord. This is really less than 170 years, a little less. 165 years. And we find this change starting to creep in. There began to be among them those who were lifted up in pride, such as the wearing of costly apparel and all manner of pearls and of the fine things of the world. So you see how this ties with the advice given in Proverbs. He said, "Instead, how much better it is to get wisdom than gold." But here these people were lifted up in pride and the fine things of the world and the clothes they wore, costly apparel and all manner of pearls. And from that time forth, they did have their goods and their substances no more common among them. Before this, they had their goods and substances common, but they had them no more common among them. And they began to be divided into classes. Notice how quick something like this can change. But they were lifted up in pride. They began to be lifted up in pride. And as it goes on, this increases. And they began, well, here I skipped some. They began to build up churches unto themselves to get gain. Before this, it was not this way. They were all one under Jesus Christ, one church, as a matter of fact. But now, when they begin to be divided into classes, they build up churches to get gain and begin to deny the true church of Christ. What a sad condition this changed into. Now I would just like to go over to verses 46 through 48. And we're coming on down to a few more years, 43 years after this initial event. And it came to pass in the 244 years had passed away, and thus were the affairs of the people. And the more wicked part of the people did wax strong, and note this, and became exceedingly more numerous than were the people of God. Now, this is only in a matter of 43 years The other one was in the 201st year that they stopped having all things come. And in this brief time, the wicked become exceedingly more numerous than the people of God. So we must not ever underestimate the power of the devil and what he can do. Because there were a people who at one time literally bound the power of the devil. They had great and marvelous works among them. And surely they're said here in this same chapter of 4th Nephi that there couldn't be a happier people than these. And yet it changed people thinking that the things of this world were more important than the things of God. And in verse 48, and they did still continue to build up churches unto themselves, and adorn themselves, and adorn them with all manner of precious things. Their eyes become blinded. What a sad state affairs, and how quickly this changed. I would like to turn now over to the book of Called Mormon on page 700 and read a bit more about these people. And I'd like to start reading with verse 45. For behold, the Spirit of the Lord hath already ceased to strive with their fathers. Now, these are the people that I was reading about a bit earlier in 4th Nephi. And now, more time has passed, and the Spirit of the Lord hath already ceased to strive with their fathers, and they are without Christ. Now, isn't that a sad state? Of a people who once knew Christ, but now they were without Christ and God in the world, and they are driven about as chaff before the wind. And any of us has watched something that seed that you want to clean, and you bounce up the seed, and the chaff is blown away in a wind. It goes all over. There's no end to where it goes. They were once a delightsome people, and they had Christ for their shepherd. It makes one weep because of this. Yea, they were led even by God the Father. But now, behold, they are led about by Satan. Even as chaff is driven before the wind, or as a vessel is tossed about upon the waves, without sail or anchor, without anything wherewith to steer her, and even as she is, so are they. Now I hope we paid a particular note to what I've read. Here was a people who once had Christ for their shepherd, who knew of the bountiful blessings in life, but they changed. And now they was as a little craft out on the ocean without a sail. And you know, this is a sad state to be in. Without a sail, or even without an anchor, or anything to steer. And so are they. That's the way they're trying to go through their life. Without anything to steer, without an anchor to anchor their souls to, and we need to be anchored to the solid rock of Jesus Christ. If we're going to weather the storms that will yet beat upon this nation, that will yet be upon this world. So we who have the benefit of these scriptures, have a way outlined for us. Let us not forget. verse 49 and 50. But behold, it shall come to pass that they shall be driven and scattered by the Gentiles, coming down to another dispensation of time. And what took place even upon this continent, after they have been driven and scattered by the Gentiles, behold, then will the Lord remember the covenant which he made unto Abraham and to all of the house of Israel. One day they will become a delightsome people, but only because they learn to serve Jesus Christ and God the Father. And also the Lord will remember the prayers of the righteous which have been put up unto him for them. And then another significant happening concerning the Gentiles, this great nation that inhabited this land. We think upon this, it too is a significant fact. And then, O ye Gentiles, how can ye stand before the power of God except ye shall repent and turn from your evil ways? And I want to do a little thinking here and let our thoughts maybe wander a bit to the early days of our nation, when it came here and by the power of God, it was delivered from the mother Gentiles and from all other nations. It was set up a free nation. And until this day, after the Declaration of Independence, it has been a free nation. But it was delivered from this mother Gentiles by the power of God. When a little group of people seemed nigh overcome, they were delivered. I think all too often our nation is not thinking back to what happened in the early days, of why we are and why we're here today, and why we have survived these many years, over 200 years. In fact, 210, I guess now. Hard to believe a nation survived that long. But yet, these are significant words here. And there's a charge in the book of Ether that any nation who has this land shall serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ, or when they're ripe in iniquity, they'll be swept off the face of the land. It happened to the Jaredites. It happened to the Nephites. It could happen again. So let's reread here again, verse 51. And then, O ye Gentiles, right down to this year we're living in, how can you stand before the power of God except ye shall repent and turn from your evil ways? Know ye not that ye are in the hands of God? That's a sobering statement. Know ye not that he hath all power? He is the one that weigheth the spirits. He is the one that brought King Belshazzar down. And at his great command, the earth shall be rolled together as a scroll. Therefore, repent ye and humble yourselves before him, lest he shall come out in justice against you, lest a remnant of the seed of Jacob shall go forth among you as a lion and tear you in pieces, and there is none to deliver. I find here some sobering thoughts. I would like to turn now to 2 Nephi on page 146. This is actually a prophecy of what I'm kind of building in reverse, I guess. I read what already happened. Now I'm going to read the prophecy and some of the prophetical statements that told about these things in verse 89. And it shall come to pass that those who have dwindled in unbelief shall be smitten by the hand of the Gentiles. And that's what I read happened. And it did happen. In verse 90, and the Gentiles are lifted up in the sight of their eyes. Did you hear what I just read? And the Gentiles are lifted up in the sight of their eyes. There is another passage of Scripture that indicates because of this pride, and I think I will change that for our finish this. It's in 2 Nephi, the 7th chapter.
Sure, thou heard that we are to see a cedar wrought, that Earl of the Ribs and Captain Fine. Now, if you will, I'm here. So, we'll be for the season. Fine. Sure, thou heard that we are to see a cedar wrought, that Earl of the Ribs and Love, April.
For he is the foundation of all
things. Yeah, the old sir, the media roads of hell on it. Oh, yeah, see, it's my grown tip in here.
And he says, all
Not inherit the kingdom of God. And it says right here in verse 111, for whosoever doeth them shall perish. All the same difference. For none of these iniquities cometh of the Lord, for he doeth that which is good among the children of men, and he doeth nothing save it be plain unto the children of men. And he inviteth them all to come unto him and partake of his goodness. And he denieth none that come unto him, black and white, bond and free, male and female. He remembereth the heathen and all are alike unto God, both Jew and Gentile. So this shows that the God we believe in is not a respecter of persons. And I think one here in the book of Acts, the 10th chapter, for a closing statement, I would like to read from 34 and 35. Because of a marvelous experience that Peter had had, showing that God really didn't respect the Jews over the Gentiles, then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." So I feel that these are significant verses. Those that fear him, work righteousness, is accepted with him. And I've read in other places the importance of keeping the commandments, of worshiping together, of praying together. So we see how well outlined this is and the importance. So we find truly that even though the ways of a man might seem clean in his own eyes, it is the Lord that weigheth the spirits.
We're going to have preaching by